You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. I have a special guest that I'll be collaborating with in Oregon at the Oregon Ghost Conference, March the 22nd through the 24th. She will be our special guest. She's going to be hosting the live episode with me, so make sure you check that out. It's pretty effing spooky. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so stoked to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you as well. We were just talking before we started about an investigation that you and Becky did, and I was telling you all the kind things that she had to say, and she was like, you guys should do something. And I was like, we are! So that's pretty cool. Well, one thing we love to find out when we start the podcast is where you fall in what we call the Believo-meter, which is this really goofy way of finding out if you believe in ghosts or not. Zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10, ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I'm 9.
Okay.
That's what naturally came to me. 10 feels, I don't know why, but it felt wrong.
I think there's always room for skepticism, especially in the digital world we live in. You know, I think sometimes for people like you and I that have spent some time in the paranormal space, you see things that are online sometimes that clearly looks fake that maybe other people don't pick up on as fast. So always good to have a little bit of skepticism. Well, let's kind of dig into your origin with the paranormal. How did you get into the paranormal space?
I started ghost hunting in 2008 with a team out of Montana, which is where I'm from. I had been experiencing the paranormal since I was about 7 or 8 years old. And by the time I was 18 in 2008, aging myself, but that's okay, I decided I was ready to come out and start exploring the paranormal and kind of telling people I believe in ghosts and trying to figure out why I had had these experiences my entire life. And so I applied, I want to say on like MySpace or Facebook or something, to this ghost hunting group called Billings Paranormal Investigative Society, or for short, it's called BPIS. Yes, I got my start with BPIS. I joined them. They were incredible for the time that they were together. Got a very good kind of, quote, scientific background with them. Just very influenced by early ghost hunters days with equipment and doing private residences and stuff like that. And then I moved to Spokane, Washington, which is where I'm at now, and took a little break in my 20s to party and not think about ghosts, even though the ghosts still thought about me. They still followed me. And then I started Pretty Effin' Spooky in 2019, and here we are today.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. For some reason, I feel like all paranormal ghost hunters should still be on MySpace. Like, that should be like the sneaky link for all the ghost hunters out there. You mentioned that you had paranormal experiences from a fairly young age. Can you tell us about some of those experiences?
Yeah, so my paranormal experiences started, from what I can remember, started when my family moved from California, Southern California, to Montana. I lived with my mom and my grandma, and we moved into this duplex in Montana. I call it the haunted duplex. I moved into one of the rooms on the top floor of the duplex, and I immediately, as a young kid, started having these really detailed nightmares about it being haunted, and also felt like my dolls were moving at night, watching me, and had some experiences, and was not predisposed to paranormal TV at the time, really. I don't even think I was watching the little bit that was out there at that time yet, because I was so young. And I made my mom switch me bedrooms because I thought that that was the issue. And it still kept happening from then on. And then everywhere that we would move after, ghostly things would happen. It was never anything too outrageous, not like I was speaking to the dead, like how we see on TV, but just kind of spooky things followed me all throughout life, all through my teenage years, and then into my adulthood as well. So I was raised Baptist, and very religious for a good portion of my childhood. So that kind of made me suppress it a little bit and not be so open with my family or my friends about what was happening.
Do you feel like growing up, because I grew up really religious as well, and do you feel like that colored your view of the paranormal as everything being, demonic and super scary?
I was already kind of suspicious, or I don't know, questioning my religion from a pretty early age. And I did not look at the paranormal as like being demonic or evil because of my religious upbringing, but instead, it confused me on how it could fit in because I felt inherently that it was not evil and not demonic. It just was kind of a thing that was happening. And it started making me question, how does this fit into the framework of my religion? And why does it have to be? This is obviously later into my teen years, not as a 7-year-old pondering these things, but I was wondering, what does this mean for what happens after death? And that's kind of, the driving point to me starting to ghost hunt when I was 18, once I was an adult and out of the house, and I could kind of start exploring things on my own. My grandma raised me for the majority of my life. She was not like, that's demonic and it has to stay out. It was more just either brushing it off, dismissing it, or being like, well, it must be evil, pretending to be good, whatever. But yeah, it just kind of made me confused and made me leave my faith later on in life. So,
From that time to when you were 18, was there a cornerstone moment of haunting that is like that first thing you think of when you think back to that time with the supernatural?
that time when I was very young is more like formative for me in that duplex. I did have a moment with my childhood dog that sticks out to me. But then also my interest in the occult kind of propelled forward. Not because of ghosts, but because I started, this is crazy. I've actually never talked about this on a podcast. I don't know why this just came to mind, but I'm going to say it. In youth group, I used to try to read auras, try to see people's auras in youth group. And I remember because there was this like white background and the pastor and whoever else would like stand in front of it. And I could like see, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what was going on. I don't have any problems, that I know of. But and that actually kind of propelled me forward into the occult as a whole. Like I was like, oh, what is this? And then of course I'm a teenager and into fantasy novels and TV and stuff. And I'm thinking, I want to be a witch. And so that sticks out to me the most from my teen years, kind of propelling me forward into the occult. But as far as ghosts go and the traditional paranormal stuff, the haunted duplex sticks out to me most.
And what was the experience with your dog?
My dog passed away. She was put down. I was not able to be there. It happened while I was at school. It's this whole thing. I was very upset about it. And I don't remember how much time had elapsed, but I did experience her coming to my door like she used to in the basement and hearing her little nails on the hardwood floor that I had down there. And so it wasn't anything crazy. It was just like, oh, okay. Like my dog is still here. And it was just a bummer. It was kind of really sad, but I love the experiences, that aren't sought after that are just so organic and kind of just a thing that happens. And it, the casualness of it all is fascinating to me and makes me believe myself and my experiences more. So that's the thing with my dog. She just came to visit.
And how old were you when that happened?
I was middle school age, so I think it would have been around 13.
Yeah, you'd already had 4 or 5 years then of kind of processing this, but what was it at that point, or did it take you some time to accept that that was your dog, or did you just instantly accept, you know, is this clearly the manifestation of my dog that passed away?
It's so interesting because my brain didn't have the words or the knowledge to comprehend it the way that I can today, but I remember just being like, that's my dog. But in my head, I remember it kind of looking at it like residual in a way. But at the time, I didn't have the word for that. I didn't know what that meant. It's not like my brain was like, the soul of my dog is trapped here or something. I don't talk about it very often, honestly. I have had issues with trusting my own memory. When I was very young, I had a lot of traumatic things happen in my younger years. So I don't talk a whole ton about things that happened then. I am still trying to work through trusting those experiences and trusting myself that that actually happened. And I'm only now just a few years into being able to say, yes, that absolutely happened, and not just dismissing it as my brain trying to kind of escape into fantasy land because of other things happening.
Yeah, I don't know why I can remember almost all my childhood trauma, but I cannot remember any of the names of any of my teachers from when I was a kid. My wife thinks that's absolutely crazy. And it to the point, for some reason, last week, I mean, this is something we've discussed like the whole time we've been together. I like sat there and like squinted my eyes and I could come up with, now obviously like once I get to high school age, I can remember stuff, but my younger years, I could come up with one teacher, shout out Miss Smith, music teacher of little kids. And that was it. I was like, I don't know. I know I went to school and I know I had a lot of teachers, but couldn't tell you a single name of any of them.
Yeah.
Fun club to be in.
Selective memory. I remember these handful of, you know, ghostly experiences. Then I have a handful of other normal life experiences. And then I have like a 3-year, you know, absolutely no memories. Like, yes. I don't know. Memories are crazy like that. Maybe one day I'll try to retrieve it, but not, that day has not come yet.
Yeah, I remember the first big tattoo I got, somebody was like, man, that must have really hurt. And I was like, no, I just put it in the dark place. Like, I just put the pain back there and hung out. And they're like, you're so fucked up.
Yeah. They're like, ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, before I bum too many out people out there listening, or too many people go, I relate to that. Let's move on in your story. Well, I saw, I think it was maybe yesterday or the day before, you posted on Instagram and probably your other platforms too, but that you recently had a paranormal experience. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. This was exciting for me because this hadn't happened for me in a while, like over a year or two. But I woke up to what I thought was a woman crawling up from the bottom of my bed towards my feet. And she's kind of like slow crawling like this, like hanging on. And like, I look down and I am startled. So I wake my boyfriend up and I tell him, I don't know why, but to move, like, get out of my way, move, get,
this is
get
our
me away
moment.
From
get out of here.
Yeah. No, I was like, get me away from this thing. And he's like, what is happening right now? And I'm like, her. And I remember looking at him and then looking back down and still seeing it. And that's when I knew, okay, I'm having an experience. I'm not just like sleep hallucinating. It kind of bled into real life for a second there. And then my boyfriend gets up and looks around and is like, there's nothing here. And I'm like, okay. And then he just told me recently that that's all I remember. Like, I remember being terrified. I cried after that. And then I eventually fell back asleep. But he says that it happened again a second time in the night, but I don't remember that. So I was fully asleep during the second time. But
like,
he
you
was
woke
like,
him
yeah,
up again?
But that I was like reacting to somebody in there again. Yeah, and that he woke up again from it. But I don't remember that part. I just remember like the very vivid. And it was weird too. It's just, I used to have experiences like that a lot. I used to have sleep paralysis. And then over time, it kind of morphed into more sleep hallucinations because I wasn't paralyzed, but I was still seeing these hallucinations in that like in between waking state. And then they would get more and more detailed and they would get more specific and weird. It would be, I'd wake up and there'd be like a man and a woman in my room, like talking to each other and just standing there. Or there'd be a woman walking down my hall, I used to live in like a studio, and I could see this woman walking by, or like, I don't know, just weird stuff like that. And it happened all the time. And then in the last couple of years, it hasn't happened as much. And I'm grateful for it, because it was very scary. It was never very fun. But then that happened again recently, and it was just as detailed, and it reminded me of back in the day. And I was like, oh, I was kind of happy for that experience to come back. I was like, I still got it, you know, like I still got it in me. It was also weird too, I should add, that night I had brought home some herbs from a friend who foraged them locally and wanted to give them to me for protection, and they're like for spirit removal, because I have a haunted necklace, and I meant to get it from her months ago. And then that night I get it, I put it in this room and I lock it up, and then that happens that night. And I felt like afterwards, I was like, I think that spirit was like, don't get rid of me, not yet, or like, not me, you know, like it really felt like that, because the desperation of crawling up. And it didn't, like, she wasn't like trying to hurt me, it just like scared the poop out of me. So I have not used those herbs to clear any spirits out. I've never enjoyed the concept of cleansing spirits out anyway. I like to house them, I like to chill with them and interact with them. I just had to take care of a stinky necklace situation. Yeah, that just happened like last week.
That's horrifying. So I want this episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier, or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box, when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
I'm going to get to two more things before we wrap up. First being, you did mention it, which is the haunted item. So as I mentioned in the beginning, we had Becky on, I think, on our last episode, and she spoke about the two haunted dolls that she's acquired. And of course, you know, they've gone viral, and not that they're sick, like they've gone viral on the internet and they moved, mouths open, yada, 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 which is wild. And it's wild to me that you guys take quote unquote haunted objects like try to sort them out, but you're no stranger to haunted objects. And recently you have acquired this necklace. I would love to hear about that necklace or any other haunted objects that have had a big impact on you.
Yeah, this guy behind me, a painting there, that is my first foray into like absolutely certified haunted object, I would say. Other than that, I have a lot of small collections of like things from haunted places or things that have, I don't know, like I have like Bigfoot water and stuff like weird stuff. I have a very weird collection of things, but my haunted painting was the first thing I bought, but I had a feeling about it, took it home, absolutely haunted, 100%. And then what I made a video about recently that went very viral was a necklace that my mom sent to me, which she was just sending me some vintage jewelry that she thought I would like. But there was this one necklace that I investigated and got some very compelling answers from an obelisk on and had some interesting experiences. That video in particular about that necklace got like 10 million views, which wow. Is absolutely like outrageous for me. Like that, I was like, what is happening? I get the bug in me. I'm like, I want more ghost experiences. I want more haunted objects, you know, as we do. I'm human. I was thinking it, and I swear I'm woo-woo enough to believe the universe heard me. And my coworker was at an antique store and found this necklace, a locket that had a paranormal disclosure on it, said, this is haunted. The last owner didn't want it, yada, yada. And there's some synchronicities that led to that point too, that like I was like, is this meant for me? But this thing was freaking expensive, I'll tell you what, it was overpriced. And I was like, they always say not to buy, we always say, you know, you shouldn't buy haunted objects. If it's really haunted, they want to just get rid of it or whatever. But I was like, I kind of want it. Like, I want to push. I love pushing the boundaries of these things. I have some skepticism in me, and I'll do whatever I need to do to like to see if this stuff is real at the end of the day. At this time, Becky had gotten the dolls. And so then I was like, I'm going to get the necklace, which is so stupid. I get the necklace. I decide to wear it for a week, which was stupid. And I wear it for a week and I feel very weird, very brain foggy. Could it have not been the necklace? There's absolutely a chance. But I thought genuinely, I felt very weird wearing it. And it also made me feel like I never wanted to take it off. I was wearing this thing like from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, I'd take it off. And I just felt like very strange and a little bit of not bad luck, but just yuck in my life. And so that was that. And then I decided that I needed to try and contain it before I went to go hang out with Becky and investigate in Pennsylvania. Well, Pennsylvania was a trip for sure. I wouldn't say that it went like swimmingly well. So then you have this like question of like, did it have to do with Becky's dolls? Did it have to do with my necklace? How much of this, what is actually going on? I only just now got my locket to a place where I feel like it's pretty neutral energy, which is a bummer kind of, because I never really wanted to get rid of whatever was attached to it. I just wanted to push the limits, and I did. And then I got scared that it would affect me, or it had affected my life. I probably influenced by Becky's dolls, which I believe really are doing their thing. So now it's just a locket, I think.
That's
or maybe
so sad.
Not. I don't know. Maybe it was the woman in my room the other night.
Do you think those two moments are connected?
Do I think that the ghost in my bedroom the other night is from the locket? I literally have no clue. Your guess is as good as mine. I think it could be a myriad of things. And I did that to myself. And I'm currently looking for a way to kind of untangle the web of spirit activity in this office right now. But
somebody listening is just going, burn it down, burn the whole thing down.
It's like a puzzle. It's like one of those little fidgety puzzles that you want to like get apart or whatever. It's like, I don't want to just wipe it clean. I did this myself. I take responsibility. I have a lot going on spirit-wise in my office and in my home, and I want to try to figure it out. So, I mean, was any of it a failure then? No, I consider it a success. I just got a little in over my head and would not suggest flying across the country after experimenting with this stuff, especially lately when like doors have been flying off of planes and stuff like that.
Well, I'm curious for people that are listening that are unfamiliar with haunted objects or maybe have some skepticism about that whole area of the supernatural. Was there a moment for you that clearly identified one of these objects as being haunted? You know, I hate to be cliche, but you saw an apparition from the lady you were told was in the painting, or, you know, not saying there's a lady in that painting, but just you know what I'm saying? Like, was there something
Yeah.
that was easy to identify?
For my haunted painting in particular, when I first brought it home, I put him up on a different wall than he's at now. But after I put him up on the wall, things had started falling off of the walls, which is interesting. We've lived here for years and never had that issue. So that was the first thing that tipped me off to like, oh, this is strange. Then from there, I had to go. When I first got the painting, I had to go on a trip and my boyfriend was still here. And he called me and was like, I can hear footsteps in the hallway. Like there's something going on in here, and it feels like, I don't know, it kicked up once you left. And that was pretty close to buying the haunted painting as well.
I saw online that you have this ability to draw regarding part of your paranormal gifts. I don't want to misdescribe it. So can you tell us about that?
So a couple years ago, while doing the Estes method, which I think all listeners probably know what that is, I started recognizing that I was, first of all, seeing more than I was hearing, seeing it in my mind's eye. And then I was seeing things related to the living people that were there with me, not related to the location, not related to the paranormal activity that I expected. And slowly over time, I started speaking on it and saying, you know, hey, I don't know why, but I'm seeing the inside of so and so's tooth. And then they're like, I have a tooth problem right now. I'm going to the dentist next week. I've been really stressed about it. And I'm like, you need to go. I don't know. Anyway,
Who hasn't brushed their teeth in 3 weeks? It's you,
trust me,
Carl.
it was hard to start saying this ridiculous stuff. Trust me. But it was like, I was like, okay, there's something to this. Whatever I'm tapping into, you know, whatever this like river of like weirdness is, I'm like tapping into some area of it. And from there, I brought back my fine art background. So I used to do art. I used to have a popular art series not related to the paranormal at all, where I was doing pen, like ink drawings. And I wanted to incorporate that back into my investigating, as well as find a way to make something tangible about the experience that I was having while in the Estes method. So one thing led to another, and I start using drawing method while in the Estes method. And then, sorry, thought it was a ghost.
I heard
It's
that
not a
too. I
ghost.
was like,
It's a person.
Okay.
So anyway, I start incorporating drawing into my investigating, and then I start doing it alone. So I'm not really doing the Estes method at that point. I'm just kind of using it as a way to enter trance, because that trance state when you're doing an Estes method is very important to help you kind of tune in. And I found that I was entering trance very easily. That was something I was skilled at, and then able to kind of draw what my mind's eye was seeing and sort of journey through what I call this sort of dream state or subconscious state. A couple years later, I'm doing drawings for people where I'm able to kind of journey into their subconscious and pull out messages similar to a tarot reading, like not so much finding people who have passed and talking to them, although they do come through sometimes, but just kind of trying to find messages that are meant to come through for them and doing blind drawings while I'm reading for them. But yeah, that's where I'm at with it now. And it's ever evolving. I just started doing it for the public, I think in November, which is new for me, and has been a challenge, but very cool and very validating to hear how people resonate with it.
Can you tell us about a recent drawing you had that really resonated with the person that you were doing it for?
Yeah, this wasn't super recent, but within the last year, I did do a reading for somebody who she was my barista, the coffee shop that I went to, and it was attached to my work. And I didn't know her very well, but she found out what I do online. And when I was in trance for her, I ended up being brought to her apartment building. The way that these visions work is I'm kind of just pulled to somewhere. And that's hard to explain because my brain is going to fill in what I think that looks like. I don't know if I'm completely astral traveling or anything that, or remote. I don't know if I'm entirely remote viewing, but like my brain is filling in, this is her apartment. Okay. This is what I think it is. And there I saw what I assumed was her sister, a sibling. She was braiding her sibling's hair. And this was like a very clear thing that I was watching. I was like, this is important. Nothing's really happening, but I'm watching her braid her hair. And then I'm seeing some guy is there and the sister's like, I don't like the guy. And there's a little girl there as well. And the little girl feels uncomfortable around this guy too. And that's a whole thing. And something about money, like money issues. So I tell her this and I'm like, I have no idea what this is about. Her sister had passed away within like the previous year. But a week prior to this reading, she had found her sister's braid of hair that the funeral director had given to her. And she had misplaced it for a while and found it in her house and had, been reflecting on her sister. And then furthermore, that her sister didn't like her boyfriend and she had like gotten back together with her boyfriend or something like that. So, And then later she ends up quitting. I never hear from her again. And I was like, is that the money issues? Like, I'm like, where'd you go, girl? Like, oh no. But that was like a really sobering experience. And also honestly, kind of a moment where I was like, I'm not prepared at that point to have that conversation. Like, I was like, I didn't know that, I don't know what else to tell you, you know? Cause also I was like, I don't have the ability to like go back and like talk to your, I don't think I continue to try to like have conversations with spirits like how mediums do, but I just don't think that that's how my gift works. I really think it's meant to be this sort of fleeting thing of I am able to crawl in there and into your brain or wherever I'm going real quick and pull something out just to be able to say they're there, you know, like
snapshot almost.
Yeah. And kind of, I'd like to think it was validating just as much as it is just to say that I saw it. You know, it's not like the sister had to give me some sort of message, but at least it happened and it's incredible. Yeah. And those things validate our belief in the other side, you know? So if I can give that to her, then I'm happy. But yeah, that was a big one that stood out to me.
That's really amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been a real delight. I can't wait for us to get to do a live show at the Oregon Ghost Conference on March the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Wow, I really hope that's right because I'm pulling it all off the top of my head. But audience, make sure you check the description and it'll have how to get your tickets. You can get into our show for free as long as you have a general admission ticket. So that's pretty awesome too. Please tell our audience if you have anything else going on at the conference, anything else going on in your life, where they can find all your amazing online content you have going on.
Yeah, so I can be found at Pretty Effin Spooky on all social platforms. I'm prettyeffinspooky.com. And I will be giving a lecture at the Oregon Ghost Conference on March 23rd, I think at 11 a.m. About paranormal emotions and investigating yourself. So that's where you can find me. And if you want to find me in person, come to Oregon.
Man, I really hope some of our fans are able to go to this conference. You know, it's on the West Coast and I know we have a following on the West Coast. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, it's honestly not a super expensive conference to attend. And I've heard it's a lot of fun. So come check it out. Say hello. And Amanda, thank you so much for doing this. It is such a relief to have somebody to do that live show with. You know, I'm envisioning us kind of going through your story, my story, and then hopefully interviewing somebody from the audience about their paranormal experience. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Amanda Paulson. Ooh, you went longer than I expected.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.